Hi, I'm Kendra Corman, the host of Imperfect Marketing. If you're a solopreneur, small business owner, or marketer, you know marketing is far from a perfect science. And that's why this podcast is called Imperfect Marketing. Here you will hear from marketing experts and successful business owners about their marketing tips and, of course, their lessons learned along the way. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Imperfect Marketing. I'm your host, Kendra Corman, and today I am joined by Heather Romanowski. She is a lifelong bibliophile. She reads over 100 books per year, which is cool. And she can't talk about all of them because she is a book editor. She graduated from Oakland University, Michigan, and was in the automotive industry like I was a long, long time ago for me. Probably not as long ago for her because she's a little bit younger here. But she started this as a creative side business and it became her passion and what she's wanted to do. She's been full-time with her company, Book Realm Revisions, and its clients since 2022. Very, very cool. But she works to help polish and transform her clients' drafts into the vision they dream of. Welcome. And thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Kendra. It's a pleasure to chat and hang out with you again.
Yeah, I'm really excited because today we're going to talk about something that I think is extremely important. And that is style guides, right? So you use style guides when editing books. Brands as a whole need style guides. I regularly will be like starting with a new client. I'm like, okay, can you send me your style guide? And they're like, what? I'm like, Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's start for anybody that doesn't know what a style guide is. Let's start with what that is.
So there's typically two different types. The type that I would use as an editor looks a little bit different than what a marketer does, but they work together. They complement each other. So my style guide is a compilation of all of the editorial and author voice decisions so that we can be consistent throughout a whole book, a website, a brand, all of that. So it's, do you use an Oxford comma?
No, I do not.
What are your capitalization requirements? What are your references? So like if you are an engineer of some sort or you have a whole bunch of pieces of like information that you reference regularly to like provide accurate information, this allows you to be like, go see this for this stuff. This is help you keep track of all of your acronyms, all of your anything that you could possibly think of. And then you can even add a section for your, what I call author voice, which is when you're writing content, are you more formal? Are you informal? Is this want to be like a coffee chat type of a thing? You know, you can add all of these things in so that if you are starting like I am out, I'm writing all my blog posts and then I'll invite guests to come to write blog posts for my blog and we'll do an exchange. But say you're starting this and then suddenly your business takes off and you don't have time to continue content creating. Having a style guide already was a living document of everything that what your brand sounds like from a writing perspective makes it easier so that when you hire a marketer or a content writer to actually take control of your blog, here are examples. And then here's literally a template to help you with this. And it just makes the whole process easier. There isn't really a hiccup. It makes any, approval decisions a lot easier because there's less of a lag time, the teaching and learning between you and your new writer who does stuff.
And I would say it goes beyond hiring a marketer or a writer. It's everything in your business. I created a style guide a long, long time ago, and I'm sure it's been updated since for a client. And every time that they'd onboard new employees, it had it in there. Yeah. We had how we format dates and times. Mm-hmm. We had no two spaces after the period. No two spaces after the period. No Oxford comma except in certain cases. Mm-hmm. And it was, they were guidelines, and it allowed them to bring on interns that could get up to proposal writing. And it mm-hmm. really streamlined everything and it saved yeah. them time because they can say, here it is, reference this. We had a one pager and a 14 page document for all the different things that they used. And it really helped.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I still, if I go visit that client, I still see that style guide hanging on people's cube walls. So
that's awesome.
It has a long life.
Yes. In traditional publishing, the style guide is passed between all the editorial departments to keep the book consistent so that each editor and each set of eyes knows what are the particular conventions for that book. And that way it helps erase typos and consistency errors, because a lot of typos aren't necessarily misspellings. It is a consistency thing. It is, oh, you hyphenated, you know, this word over here, but you didn't do it here. And your reader will notice it, but they won't notice it in a way. They'll just think like they'll notice it, but it won't be in the way that you think it is. And they may not necessarily even consciously notice it. It'll be a subconscious thing. They'll just be like, oh, there was something off about the writing and I don't know what it was, or it won't seem as polished or professional is a lot of what it is. But it helps cut down on confusion. It helps cut down on training time. And if you suddenly need to crunch out four different blog posts, having a record of your own decisions when you're tired and like, you know, you need to do this helps, because you're just like, I already made a decision on how I want to handle this. Here we go. And if anything else comes up, like the main thing that I want to always emphasize is that it's a living document. This isn't I wrote it in stone, it stays this way. This changes with your brand. So if you decide to do a brand refresh of colors, palettes, all of that, you would change this with it because your voice changes with that. And the way that you talk to your audience and your client changes with that as well. So this isn't a one and done thing. This is like for my own personal business, I have a, you know, list of things that I do every single time. And I had a refresh. And so that changed how things looked, how they lay out, and the content of like what I'm actually focusing on. So I had to update my own document for it. And it made it, I know that eventually if I ever hire on, you know, a marketer or someone to help me write out my own blog posts or a virtual assistant, I'll be like, here, this is, you may have never seen this again, but I promise you, you will like it. It is not as intimidating as it is, as it looks.
No, and it's great to not have to be able to ask or have to make 800 yes. million revisions because you didn't know.
Yep.
You know, so it's very important as organizations look to scale, as you look to create content, as you use AI to help develop content.
Yes.
Because you need to have those rules.
That way, when you're, especially if you're having AI help you write content, you want to make sure that it follows your editorial decisions. And sometimes when you're looking at something that you've already looked at a million times, you miss stuff. And having a checklist, a stylistic checklist of what is and isn't you is very helpful, because you're just like, oh, I'm not going to, you know, leave this in here, this particular word, this particular phrase, because this isn't my brand. But if you're asking AI to help you, it's not going to know that. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of prompts to tell it, you can't use these words, or you need to like do it this way. Like, it just makes it easier if you have your own record of, I like these particular things, and I like this particular capitalization. And in this case, like, this is italicized, like all of those things are important.
And I think, again, the consistency really helps. It helps people understand and see your work. It helps really just create a stronger brand.
Yes.
And I think one of the important things to note is that a lot of people think that the style guide is the logo and colors. It's not.
It's part of it.
Right.
But it's not all of it. No.
So how long is your style guide?
Mine is actually pretty short. It's about 2 pages, but that's because I have a whole bunch of sections in it. So I literally have A to Z, like my word list. I have a section that is one word, two words, or hyphenated. So it's like a split off from that word list of just straight up, is this hyphenated, is it not? Because language changes. And that's the other thing that is a consideration is, when I was a kid, rainforest was one word. Well, guess what? If you go to Merriam-Webster, it's now 2. And personally, for me, I'm still keeping it as 1. Because that's like, I'm like, this is my thing. So a lot of it is, you know, making certain things easier. Like I have a full word list, but if I just want to look up what are things that I italicize, there's a section for that. I will say that my grammar, my own personal grammar, you know, things are a little bit more flexible. I'm not a prescriptivist. I choose to work with the flow of language. And one of the things that I keep up on is how language changes and in what fashion. And so I keep up with Merriam-Webster when they release their new words every single year, or I keep up with the Chicago Manual of Style, which will be releasing another guide, which I just memorized. I just memorized 17th edition. Now I get to learn what 18th edition holds. So it's more, I would say that mine isn't very rigid. It allows for a lot of flow and flexibility, because that's important for me, because my language changes and I'm keeping up with it. Does that mean that sometimes I go back and check old blog posts and tweak them? Yes. Because I learned, you know, that maybe this word isn't the best way of putting it, or this phrase isn't the best way of putting it. And to honor my changing brand voice, I need to make sure that I tweak everything. So consistency. So it's not quite as obvious that this blog post was 2 years old. Like I went through and I refreshed it, which means I also add an update date. For anyone who's ever had to do with citations, there's, you know, the day that it was published and the day that it was updated.
Yeah.
So
I've got a client, she doesn't like title case. Mm-hmm. It's like all the words need to be capitalized or none of the words need to be capitalized, or just first one, I should say. Yeah. Title case is not her thing. I have another client who's like, well, is that grammatically correct? And I'm like, no, who cares? Like we can have a one word paragraph.
Yeah.
We're trying to relate and flow and engage with people, mm-hmm. and you can, people will speed up and slow down based upon your spacing and your paragraph size and your sentence size. And there's just so much passion that can be conveyed through writing. I read hundreds of books myself on my Kindle every year. And I do feel emotion. Mm-hmm. If a book makes me laugh out loud or cry, it is an unbelievable book.
Yes.
And I do that regularly with both.
Same.
But it goes to show you that the power of the written word is very strong. And mm-hmm. it is a very strong part of your brand. And as all of the people on your team, or if you're the only person on your team, mm-hmm. that consistency makes a difference, because it lets people know what your stuff is. I was working with a financial institution, and when they're sending out communications, it really needs to sound the same. Mm-hmm. Because if it doesn't, that could be a flag that it's fraudulent.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of reasons outside of, I would say, just creativity and consistency that are important for having a style guide.
Yeah.
So what are, if someone's starting out and they're like, okay, I need a style guide, how do they get started? What should they be thinking about or doing?
I think the major things that they need to think about is, you know, what is natural? Start with that. Because if you are trying to make a structure that doesn't fit with what you are doing, you're literally making your job harder. So one of the things that I do when I'm creating a style guide for someone is I actually read through what they've written and I take notes. So I'm marking what words are they using? And I'll start off a conversation. Do you like the Oxford comma? yes or no, you know, and that way I like the Oxford comma, but that's also because I like to have a very defined list. But I have worked with when I worked in the automotive industry, corporate style, no Oxford comma at all.
That's where I learned my professional writing. So no Oxford comma in my world.
Yeah.
We do a bulleted list. If we need a really clear list, it's bulleted.
And that's, you know, that's another thing is to think about, what do you bullet point? How do you do steps? How do you format? What's going to make it easier for you to sit down and do that blog post, write that blurb? What's going to make it easier for you to even script out your own Instagram reels? That type of thing, because formatting is key. So I would say start writing first and then look at what you do naturally. So if that you were trying to teach someone to write like you or to have a similar voice or vein, they're able to see it because there's stuff that we know intuitively and stuff that we do intuitively, especially if you are writing or speaking in your mother tongue per se. You're going to do certain things differently than if you're, you know, translating it to something else. So you also want to keep track of, like, what are all the acronyms? You want to keep track of, as I said before, like, what are your reference points? If you want to sound like something or somebody else, who are your inspirations? So, like, write down your muses. So I know that when I started out my first internships, I was working for a small startup. And I was a content writer, which is how I know that I didn't want to be a journalist. Let's just put it that way. We want you to sound like Forbes. So go read Forbes. And that is what you need to write like. No style guide whatsoever at all. Just go read Forbes. Forbes and Wall Street and I think one other one. But like they really wanted to sound like Forbes. So I sat there and I like made notes of, okay, this is the length of the articles. This is, you know, how they're formatting stuff. Oh, it was Forbes and Reuters specifically. So what are each of them doing for their brands and how can I emulate that? And so that's where, you know, you think about what do you write? Like, you know, do you want to write a 600 word blog post or do you want to write something a little bit like 1,000 or a little bit longer? When you write short form or long form, what are, you know, how do you get to your points? What are the things that you always include in your posts? So do you have a particular, like, are there hashtags? This is a good place for you to store all those hashtags that you like to use so that when you're trying to post it, you're just like, what hashtags do I use again? How many am I using on this? You know, you've already done, especially if you're doing market research to appeal to your audience, you can have a section of your style guide include all of that market research as a reference point so that you don't have to go re-look it up. Think of it as, I don't want to say like Rolodex, but think of it as, you know, a binder of your things that make up your brand, the stuff that makes your voice. So all of it. And yes, it does take a lot of time to sit and actually do it the first time, but it makes it easier moving forward. And that's the main thing is it makes your process more repeatable. It makes it less intimidating in the end.
And I think, you know, one of the things that you said is think about what you do and how you talk, because I think authenticity is important.
Yes.
And especially for solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, small business owners, a lot of us, we are our business. And so that authentic, natural piece is important. Trying to pretend to be somebody else is probably not the smartest thing for you to do. But I love how you also said about knowing who your audience is. You really do need to think about your audience because if your audience is busy moms or busy professionals or, you know, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, coaches, consultants, that's a different delivery between those groups. And you need to think about that because your emails are all of a sudden shorter. There's a lot more bulleted lists.
Yes.
Things like that, that are going to appeal more to your audience because if you're not resonating with them and you're trying to be Forbes or Reuters, nobody's going to read it.
No. Yeah, I write very differently and I communicate very differently when I'm talking to a poet, or because I work with, so I work for a couple different publishers, and one of them, they're a hybrid publisher. So they'll take, you know, from concept to publish, and the creators get to own all of their intellectual property rights, which is very important. So I have worked with business people. I have worked with a 12-year-old student to get her book published. I've worked with an 80-year-old. I've worked with a doctor, a CEO, and I worked with a poet. Everyone communicates differently. So when I'm writing when I'm talking with the businessman, you know, it's going to be 2 or 3 paragraphs, super short. I'm not even going to hit 4 or 5 sentences. It's going to be like 2 to 3. When I'm talking to the poet, I can have chunkier paragraphs, and we're definitely going to be talking more about the nuances of the words and the flavor of the words versus, is my message getting, you know, across? How many bullet point lists can I get, you know, into this particular type of book? Versus the fiction author who is, does my character resonate? You know, does my character feel like a real person? Like, you could sit down and have coffee with them versus, you know, they're, you know, a cardboard cutout that you see in a store. So yeah. I talk with everyone very differently. And so you're going to write differently. The way that you have your balance between white space and how many sentences are in a paragraph, how you structure your sentences. Are they going to be longer? Are they going to be shorter? It is very, as you said earlier, you can have a one word sentence, and that is super impactful because your eye is drawn immediately to it. So if you're going to have that one word sentence, have it be the most impactful sentence on that page. Because they're going to read it and be like, oh, I now want to understand why you said this. And so especially if you're skim reading, it's definitely going to be easier. So that's the other thing, is like, if you are busy moms, you're not going to have long paragraphs. You're not going to have 1,000-word blog post. It's going to be 500 to 600 words tops, because they, you know, they could be holding a toddler and have another one pulling on their pants, and they're trying to look up a recipe. As simple as that. And they're just like, I need this, or I need this. I need a recommendation. I need a review. Keep it short. So be very mindful of how much time your audience has, because if you use that time wisely, they're going to come to you first. They're going to trust you first. And that's what you're going for.
Yeah. And I think, again, go back to your audience. You can be flexible. So I use Grammarly a lot because yes. I like it. Mm-hmm. And it catches a lot of my typos that are truly typos, misspellings and things like that all across the internet. My question for you is, what do you think about tools like that? Because it doesn't always allow for your creative style, if that makes sense.
So I also, I actually was using Grammarly, I'll put it that way, because the one thing that it for sure, even the free thing, would catch is the missing articles. So all the thes and as that actually need to be there in a written piece, but we skip through when we're reading something or we're writing, because we're just like, I don't, you know, you're just typing it out. You're just trying to get it out. So for tools like that, I will say, as an editor, I have my own set of tools. I have a bunch of macros that check for things and look for consistency for me. So I'm all for using tools. The main thing is ensuring that you double check what they did.
Yeah, you don't just automatically accept every change.
No.
Like, I find I probably accept half or less of the changes that Grammarly suggests,
yes.
Especially on rewording. Less so on spelling. Usually.
Yes.
Usually if I'm typing, I missed a letter.
Yes.
But
same.
Because sometimes my brain goes faster than my typing fingers do.
Oh, mine for sure does. I think way faster than my fingers. So then I'll go back and when I'm self-editing, I will actually go back 2 days later, 2 or 3, when I've definitely done like a million other things in between it, and then reread what I did. And I will say, one of the best self-editing tips that I can provide is to actually read it aloud, or have something like Microsoft Word, Google Docs, or Natural Read, or something like that. Read your work back to you, because it's going to say it exactly as it's written. You will notice every single transition that you met. You will, if you took a phone call in the middle of writing this and your train of thought got completely derailed because you had a business phone call, you will be able to tell because there will be a stark missing piece because it's reading it back to you. So number one, free self-editing, self-editing tip. Have your work read back to you or sit there and read it aloud yourself if you don't have, because I know that there's a bunch of accessibility things too, and that's also something to consider when you are creating your style guide is, are your readers red-green colorblind? Are they partially blind? Because you are writing for the elderly, so they're going to have a screen reader. How does that work? So that's something that you need to consider when you're also putting these pieces together. Can you tell a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, can they understand what you're writing? Is that important? That's the other thing. Are you trying to reach a younger audience? Are you trying to reach a business professional or a subject matter expert? Engineers talk differently to each other. They have their own language. So if you're trying to talk to an engineer, you're going to write like an engineer. You're not going to write like a mom who's really rushed. And it's just like, this thing worked. This is why, those types of things. So those are really important considerations.
I think, again, that's where your audience comes back to. Yeah. It always comes back to your audience. I feel like I'm a broken record on that one. So again, think about it, edit it, take a look at what you've written. What are your rules? Are you like me where you know Oxford comma, or are you pro Oxford comma? Again, there's several different schools of thought on all of that.
Yes.
And I think as long as you're consistent, that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. And that's what comes out of there.
That's what makes it look polished. If you look at, the really good, any type of profile, the pictures, the color palettes, the tone is all the same or really, really close. It all is working together. It's not carbon copy clones of everything. It looks like it's a piece of art. And so if all of it reads like one person's writing it, or if it's even if you have a guest come on, or if you have a team of writers, if the team of writers, even if their voices are all a little different, all write with that same consistency, it just elevates it. There's just no other way of saying it. It looks more professional. It looks more put together. It looks like you took the time and that you care.
And it saves time.
That too. That's
because
the best part.
If you're a business owner or the leader of a team, you want it to reflect a lot of what you do. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's going to save you editing and making notes on their stuff if they know what you're expecting to begin with, right?
Yeah, you want to streamline your approval process, and you want to cut down on training. You want to make it easier. No one likes to go through 6 drafts to get something done.
No.
Nobody. Mm-mm. Not even authors who know that they have to typically do 6 rounds of revisions or sometimes more. In order to get a polished piece. Nobody likes that. It's very frustrating for everybody. So if you can cut down on the amount of time for that, you'll just have the smooth process and you'll be able to be like, oh yeah, we can do that in a week. We can have this deadline to you in 2 weeks because you have the process down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it. I like to make sure that we're always giving everybody that's tuning in, either on YouTube or wherever you're listening to podcasts, value-added content. Mm-hmm. And I think save yourself some time. I talk a lot about creating standard operating procedures. Mm-hmm. A style guide is a piece of that. It sounds a little bit basic and it might be a place to cut corners now, but in the long run, you're just doing a disservice to yourself and to your brand. And so take Heather's recommendation and start creating your style guide now. And it'll evolve over time, which is totally fine, right?
Yes.
But we want to make sure that we have it. Mm-hmm. Before I let you go, Heather, though, there is a question that I ask all of my guests, and that is, This show is called Imperfect Marketing because marketing is anything but a perfect science. I mean, yes. We've already talked about all of the grammar rules we throw out the window. What has been your biggest marketing lesson learned?
Well, first is always have business cards on you, because the one day that you walk out the door without a business card is the day that you need it, even if you haven't needed it for months. And the second is don't be afraid to talk about what you do. When I was starting out, and even now, I would say that 80 to 90% of my clients come from me meeting them randomly, me going to a convention and talking to people. Like, this is how I acquired both my publishers. Is two of them I met at conferences, and then the third found me on LinkedIn. So it's all about consistency and talking. So don't be afraid to talk about what you do. Even this was my creative side hustle, and I actually am 5 years ahead of what I planned on being because I got the courage to talk about what I did. So I'm ahead of my own dream pipe, you know, like that I was like, I can do this and this and this. No, I'm 5 years ahead of everything.
That's awesome. Congratulations. But it's true. I think one of the things that people underestimate is you're not that important to other people. So they're what's important to them. So they forget what you do all the time. I still remember, and I tell this story all the time, a friend of mine was asking for a referral for a real estate agent. And so I gave her a great referral to a person who I've referred numerous times, and they loved her. And the one part, she calls me back and she's like, hey, by the way, I'm not reaching out to her. So, you know, if you just want to let her know, my mom reminded me my cousin's a real estate agent. And it's like, I get it, you know, totally fine. But they forgot because nobody was reminding them. Right. So people forget what you do because you are not the most important thing to everybody else. They got a lot going on. So talk about what you do. Remind people, don't be afraid to talk about who you are and the services you offer, because you're adding value.
Yes.
No matter what it is that you're doing, you are adding value. So add value to the people that you're working with. Well, thank you again, Heather, so much. We'll have a link and ways to connect with Heather in the show notes. So be sure to check that out. And if you are looking to write a book or have questions on a style guide, Heather is the woman to contact. Thank you again. Be sure to tune in to another episode of Imperfect Marketing next week. If you learned anything today, it would really help me out if you would like and subscribe wherever you're listening or watching. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Imperfect Marketing. Be sure to subscribe and visit KendraCorman.com/imperfectmarketing to view the show notes of all my podcast episodes. See you next week, same time, same place.